You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome on in. It is your Wednesday Locked On Syracuse podcast. Tyler Aki and Tim Leonard. We've got a special guest for you today. We're going to talk with the GM of Boeheim's Army. Kevin Belby will join us in just a minute. But first, be sure to hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast. Also, check us out on Twitter at @LO_Syracuse as well. We're always dishing out the latest Orange news, buzz, all that fun stuff. We're going to talk all things Boeheim's Army. The word of the day is new. Everything's new, everything's fresh with what Kevin Belby has done with this roster, with the construction of everything. We will dive into that in just a bit with Kevin, and then we'll also have him back on tomorrow's show as well. So without further ado, let's get to it. Here's Kevin Belby. All right, we welcome on the GM of Boeheim's Army, Kevin Belby, one of our favorite chats that we have every single year. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us, and we're really looking forward to what you've done with this Boeheim's Army roster, because it feels like this is a new era almost of Boeheim's Army and TBT with all the new guys, a new coach, everything. It feels fresh, but I guess I'll start with this. What is the change that you've made to the roster, coaching staff, whatever it is, whatever you've tweaked to this entire Boeheim's Army operation? What's the one you're looking forward to the most?
Well, I'm glad you said it. First of all, thanks for having me on. I'm a big fan of your guys' show. I actually think there's I don't know if there's anything better for a Syracuse fan. You guys really cover it all. And I enjoy the pod a lot. And I appreciate you guys saying, too, that it feels fresh, because that's something that I try to do every year. This is a lot of fun, but I'm a fan, so I'm cognizant of, from the fan perspective, it's good for us to have, you know, instead of, we don't want to roll out the same roster 7 years in a row. If we can make things a little bit different, a little unique, and keep it more exciting for the fans, like that's what we're trying to do while also winning $1 million. just a small little challenge. I mean, look, I think the reality is, and people know it, the biggest difference this year for us has been incredibly helpful and influential has been having Adam Weitzman be involved. I mean, if you know anything about Central New York and Syracuse, you know what he's doing in the community, both from a business perspective, from a philanthropy perspective, from, you know, I just think that he is a guy who helps elevate things that he touches it. And he's been a guy that we've been friends for a while. He came to our games at OCC in 2019 and just kind of developed a very organic friendship to becoming now close friends. And obviously his friendship with Coach Boeheim is well documented. He has no agenda, ego in this, except for to try to help us to win. You know, he wants to win for Eric, win for Coach Boeheim, and win it now. I mean, we want to win it this summer. That's what we're doing. So, you know, with kind of the foundation that we've built over time, over the last 6-7 years, you know, and having Adam's contacts in pull and really getting him involved as the closer, I think it's allowed us to have the best roster that we've ever had. And I don't really think it's too bullish to say it's the best roster on paper in TBT history. So are you guys recording this? Oh, you are. Okay. I can't take that back. But no, on a serious note, like it wouldn't happen without him. So pumped up. I mean, we've done everything we can with his help to make this the year. Now it's off Adam's plate. It's off my plate. It's up to the guys to go out there and perform. And we're excited to see these guys go do it. So
I know Tyler and I are both very excited about the roster, but it is a little bit different this year. You've got four guys on this roster that are non-Syracuse alums, a non-SU head coach. So what went into the decision to basically switch things up a little bit and add some non-SU players?
Definitely had an open mind to that. You know, I think that we've maybe spoiled Syracuse fans a little bit in a good way, where we really have not done much of that. You know, we had one guy, Jordan Crawford, in 2019, one guy, Will Raymond, in 2020. And, you know, early on, we had two other guys, Willie Dean and Olu Famutini. That's pretty much it. I think we've had four guys. So, but that is not the norm. I mean, Ohio State starts guys that didn't go to Ohio State. Marquette is defending champs. There's four guys on their roster who didn't go to Marquette. You know, in a perfect world, this would be 100% a Syracuse alumni team, but it's also not a perfect world, right? Like, Carmelo Anthony's a free agent. I wish he would play. You know, Deion Waiters, I wish I can convince Wes Johnson to come out of retirement, right? I mean, Tyus Battle just signed a big deal in Italy, you know, and is focusing on that. Tyler Ennis and Rakeem Christmas, they wanted to play, but they both had injuries that they're recovering from, you know, and probably missing some other guys that, you know, I've asked that. It just wasn't a fit for one reason or another. Look, sometimes the reality is there's no guaranteed money in this thing. So if you play 9 months out of the year, and this is your time to recover. This is your time to go to Disney World with your kids. This is your time to enjoy, you know, a barbecue and the 4th of July and everything else. I don't really blame you for that, because unless you're winning this thing, you're not getting any money. So anyway, I say all that as a preamble to say I'm a huge Syracuse fan. I would love for this to be 100% Syracuse, but it's not. So if it's not going to be, let's have the best possible people that we can have. Let's have guys almost act as like a grad transfer. I mean, Andrew White played, you know, 30 games at Syracuse, but every Syracuse fan knows who he is, you know, and he's got the 3-point record. And now he's continued his legacy, I think, as being part of our team the last couple of years. So let's get some Andrew White the third's grad transfer type of people to come in and be a part of what we're trying to do, that have respect for the tradition, have respect for Coach Boeheim, have respect for, you know, the rest of our roster, some of the most talented guys in the world, and also are going to play incredibly hard, you know, and are willing to get their hands dirty. So again, I'm a fan. I see it from a fan's perspective, but I also think that as a fan, like, I give credit. I want to see Eric Diefendorf succeed, whether that's through a coat drive that he does in the winter for people in Syracuse who can't stay warm, or through a small business fund that he runs, you know, through COVID and small businesses getting shut down, or through, you know, Boeheim's army. And, you know, you look at all these guys, our roster is full of guys who would have made a ton of money on NIL and didn't, right? So they gave everything they had to Syracuse for 2, 3, 4 years. And, you know, now it's like their time to kind of win, you know, something back into get some money in their pocket. And I would hope that, you know, the Syracuse fans would continue to support, even if there's, you know, a couple guys that didn't wear orange. And I think that for the, I think almost everyone does, you know, there's a couple people who, you know, complain, I think, but not everybody, I think, has that perspective that I just gave, where it's like, well, I can't get Deion Waiters off the couch because he's making $12 million a year from his buyout for the next 3 years to just sit on the couch. I don't blame the guy. I would be probably doing the same thing. He lives in Miami. That's a good life. So, yeah. So look, I'm excited. I'm truly, truly excited about the team that we have. I think that we have that Syracuse DNA, that orange DNA, orange flavor. And, but you know, we've got a couple, you can call them, I can call them grad transfers. Maybe somebody else would call them a ringer, but either way, these guys are excited to be part of what we're doing. And, you know, somebody like Eric, the reality is, like, he deserves to win a championship. Yes. And, all these guys, you know, have put in enough work. So we think that this is the roster to do it.
I think you phrased it perfectly.
What do you guys think about that? Even as students, and you know,
I'm from the Al Davis school, man. Just win, baby. That's the way I see it. And I think you phrased it perfectly too. There, you've got guys on this roster like Devo who deserve to win one of these things. And I think you bring it up too, like NIL, all that stuff. They could have made a ton of money, and some of them have made a good living off of their international professional careers and stuff like that.
Hey, the NBA Finals, they're in full swing right now, and there's only one place to bet on all your sports action. It is betonline.ag. Along with the basketball, you've also got some baseball going on right now as well. After the All-Star break, you can get in some divisional bets, all that good stuff. And you got to do it on betonline.ag. Head on over to your laptop or your phone and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information, including ours, because we've got a promo code for you. Use the code LOCKEDON. That's all one word, locked on, and you will get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the action. Hey, you might think that the Bucks have a little bit of a comeback in them, so why not get over to betonline.ag and place a little bit of money where your mouth is. Head on over to the website and use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
Let me give you this question that I threw at Tim, okay? And it's, let's say your Elam target score is at 79. It's 76-76 in the championship game. And DJ Kennedy comes down and hits the game-winning three.
Does it feel a little slimy, or is it one of those things where, hey, all money's green?
Well, I listen to the podcast, so I've already heard the question. I'm an award-winning listener. Perfect world as a fan. Like, I want Eric Devendorf hitting that shot and standing on the table afterwards, right? But as long as the confetti comes down and he's standing on the table as the MVP, we're the champs. It's still going to be sweet. And like you said, look, reality is the check's still going to cash. So I support these guys in doing that. And DJ Kennedy's on the team to win and to score for us. So I have no qualms if he's the guy to do it. And I think the nice thing about the best thing about this team, I think, that we have is that we have a lot of adults, a lot of professionals. And I really don't – we have guys who on the court have big egos in terms of, like, competitive fire, in terms of wanting to get after it. But guys who do not have egos off the court or egos in terms of, like, putting the team first. I think that pretty much – like, Eric, if we need him to go out there and play the entire game, he will. Or, you know, if we need him to come off the bench and play 5 minutes, he will. And that's really, I think, top to bottom. Guys are competitive and want to start and want to play the most amount of minutes, totally. Like, you want that. But everyone understands that you're here to win six games and to win a championship. This is not the NBA Summer League. It's not an audition for the NBA. It can be if you play really well. I mean, these games are on ESPN. There's a lot of attention. You know, you perform well, that exposure can be worth more than $1 million, honestly, or your cut of $1 million. But so that's kind of how I look at that.
In the case of DJ Kennedy, DeAndre Kane, how did that come to be? Was there any, like, did Eric Devendorf know those guys, or how did that first start? And then how do you pitch guys that aren't Syracuse guys to come and join Boeheim's army?
Yeah, like, I think the nice thing is we've got, to me, it's we've got the best, quote unquote, whatever you want to call it, brand in the tournament. You know, I think that we don't have all the championships yet, but we've got the third most wins. We have the biggest fan base, the biggest following. We're getting the best ratings on TV. If you're playing in the tournament, you know what Boeheim's Army is and what we're about, what we stand for, and selling out crowds all over the country. So that helps. You're not some rinky-dink, like, startup first-year team that's just trying to, you know, convince guys that it's not a scam. Because that's what I thought when I was first pitched the idea of the TBT. I thought it was a scam. That's why we didn't enter the first year. Eric definitely has relationships with these guys. There's respect for Eric. There's respect for our team, what we've built. And really for those two guys specifically, DeAndre Kane and DJ Kennedy, you know, once I had kind of poked around and gotten word from the TBT folks that they did not anticipate an overseas elite team entering the tournament, what was like, if we're trying to get the best guys involved, why not get the best guys involved? Why not get the winningest players in the tournament? You know, Seth Greenberg every summer says, DJ Kennedy is the LeBron James of the TBT. and so I'm like, well, if we can get the LeBron of the TBT, why not? Literally through just like many other relationships that are started these days, it started through Instagram DM. My brother Sean, who's an assistant coach with us now after playing at Syracuse, you know, he started getting to know those guys through Instagram, you know, and then connecting offline, connecting on the phone and things like that. And pretty simple. Those guys are hoopers. They're basically best friends from Pittsburgh. We played in high school together, and they want to play, you know, they want to play and they want to win money. They, if anybody knows that this thing is not a scam, this thing is real, and this puts money in your bank account if you win, it's them. So when we said, hey, we've got all these pieces, you know, you guys just have to come in and round it out and show us how to win, you know, they were pretty much all in. So it's been seamless, and I'm excited for us to just all get together in person soon.
In terms of roster construction, how many people, like, what's the brain trust and what's the process of getting guys to join this team? How many people, how many walls do people have to break down to finally get to becoming a member of the Boeheim's Army?
I think we've always, something that I've always liked is, and it doesn't happen often, is like guys asking to play. Andrew White this year was like, hey, like, is there going to be a team this year? Like, you know, other people are asking me, I'd love to play with you guys. Like, if there was an opportunity, you know, like, I used to have to go and beg guys to play, but I've learned that those aren't the guys you really want playing anyway. Those aren't the guys you want on your roster, because they're more likely to not show up, or they're more likely to be playing for themselves or to be distracted. You know, guys like, you know, Andrew, who are like literally, hey, do you have a spot for me? Yeah, I have a spot for the all-time, you know, three-point leading, you know, season scorer, shooter in Syracuse history. That's a guy who I know is going to show up on time, be professional, and, you know, give everything he has. And that's really what – it's really simple. It's like to win six games in a row, it's pretty much, I think, the hardest thing you can do in sports. So you've got to have these guys who are all in, no ego, willing to sacrifice. That's what we look for, and it's kind of simple in that way. So the recruitment process, it is some recruiting, but it's almost like more of a feeling out about what guys have going on and is this going to be a priority for them or not.
All right, guys, are you looking for a new car part or a way to repair your car right now? Well, I've got the perfect solution for you. It is rockauto.com. Different from the chain store fronts that are often kind of tireless and meaningless exercises, going to those chain store fronts and then getting turned away at the door because they don't have the specific part you're looking for. Instead, skip that step. Go to rockauto.com today. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online now for 20 years. If you go to rockauto.com today, you can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They always offer the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. I personally have used rockauto.com several times now. I can speak from experience, been happy each and every time. And when you go to rockauto.com today, be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Again, put Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
Quick break to tell you about the best protein bar on the market. You know it. It is Built Bar. And guess what? Right now, they've got a limited time flavor. That's right. You got to get in on it this week only. It is the Built Grasshopper Cookie flavor. And this one is just like your classic thin mint cookie, but packed into a Built Bar. 150 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 5 grams of sugar. There are so many great flavors of Built Bar out there, but this one in particular, you got to get it on now because it's only available from July 6th through 9th. So get in, maybe pack it into a mix box as well. There are a number of fantastic Built Bar flavors. My favorite, of course, is the peanut butter brownie. You've heard me talk about that Built Bar on the show all the time. Use Built Bar to train like the pros because Built Bar is now the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, that's Locked On for 15% off at built.com.
What about Jeremy Pope, the head coach? How did that addition come to be, and what can you tell Syracuse fans about the type of coach he is?
Super excited about Jeremy Pope. I think he's going to be a great addition for us. He's a young, fiery, up-and-coming D1 assistant coach at University of Portland, but he's got some kind of quasi-Syracuse ties from very close to Tyler Ennis and his family, and also was a graduate assistant coach for Mike Hopkins at Washington. So definitely knows the zone. Wouldn't be surprised if we bust that out again this summer. And he was a guy that's become a friend of mine and Eric's, and also through Adam. Adam has known him well. But I think our whole coaching staff is, you know, the first couple of years of this thing, there were teams that would just show up and play with no coach, right? Like, again, it's hard. You got to give yourself every advantage you have, or you can get. So, you know, Jeremy's going to be joined by Ryan Blackwell, who's been with us about 5 years now. And my brother, Sean Belby, who's an assistant coach and does a lot of skill development for us and video work as well. So we think that our entire staff is ready to rip.
I want to run a little conspiracy by you here. Okay.
Let's go. Hit me.
All right. So Eric Diefendorf, how, in your eyes, how many years theoretically does he have left in this thing?
Well, he might be like one of those international baseball players that you don't actually know, like, what their date of birth is. And, you know, like, I don't know. Maybe Eric's like really only 27. I don't know.
Like the bench warmers. I am 12.
Yeah. I would say, look, for Eric, he's come to me the last several years and just say, look, I'm ready to, like, I'm cool and ready and willing to take a step back. I don't have to start, you know. The problem is, and every time, every year he says that, he's like a little bit more gray in his beard. you know, the problem is every time we show up to practice, he's the best player on the floor. So we wind up not taking a step back, even though he's willing to. We kind of need him to take a step up. You know, maybe this is the first year that that actually happens with just a younger, deeper group and a very dynamic group. I have no idea. You know, it is pretty incredible. One of the things I look for in putting this team together that I've always done is having guys who are active. I think it's really hard to come off the couch and play in this. You know, I remember watching a team. I was like kind of intimidated. This was 2016. It was Brian Scalabrine and Mike Bibby and Jay Williams. And I'm like, man, he's like, those are three legit former NBA players. And, you know, they got balanced in the second round by 20 or 30 points and never came back. Like, they were embarrassed because they were all kind of out of shape. And, you know, they didn't take it that seriously. They thought they would just be able to roll over guys. The competition in this thing is legit. You know, these guys aren't in the NBA. Many of them were. And it's probably the best basketball you'll find that's not in the NBA. So it's always been important to me to not – it's hard to say this, but, like, to not do favors in putting this team together. Because if I do a favor and take a friend of mine – and put them on the team, I mean, that's just going to – but they're not ready to play, and they're not active, and they're not in shape. That's just going to hurt everybody else in our pursuit of $1 million. But Eric, for some reason – I mean, he works out all year long, but he's not playing competitively and still is the best player in the court. And you know, literal, like, knock on wood. But you can go back and you can look. He's never had one bad game in the tournament. You know, for a shooting guard – yeah, I know this will be an audio podcast, but we're on Zoom here. I've got a picture on the wall behind me of Kobe, Mamba mentality. Like, sometimes Kobe would have, you know, 81 points, and then sometimes in game 7 of the NBA Finals, he would shoot 7 for 21. You know, they still won that game in 2010, but, like, he didn't have a great shooting game. Eric, I think, is a shooting guard who shot over 50% basically for every game, which is just in his entire tournament history, it's really unheard of, especially that position, right? He's not a big guy who just layups and dunks. He brings it every single game, and I expect him to bring it every game this summer. And for every game is that he plays in for however long he plays in, whether this is the last summer or he does it for another 20, who knows?
Yeah.
It's, I mean, like Tom Brady. Take the lazy shit to the big three or something like that. But
exactly. Yeah.
But anyway, to round out the conspiracy here, would the roster construction, does it lead you to believe that this could be, was this a move because it could be Devo's last year?
I think that I definitely wanted to approach it like this was my last year and this was his last year. You know, I don't expect that. I mean, my goal and my vision and my dream, you know, to kind of manifest this is for us to win this championship and for in 2022 to have games up in the Carrier Dome, you know, and kind of in the brand new Carrier Dome and defend our title up there. That's what we plan to do. That's what I want us to do. That's what we will do. So putting that out there into the universe for it to happen so you guys can run this a year, and you know, a year from now I'm locked on. But we didn't want to, like, pull punches. Yeah, we wanted to give it everything we had and act like that this is it because this is it. I mean, there's no money in second place. There's no glory in – I have a lot of pride in it, but there's not a ton of glory in having the third most wins in tournament history with zero championships, you know. At the same time, like I said it multiple times, say it again, it's the hardest thing I think in sports to win 6 games in a row. There's a lot of reasons, you know, come up short here and there, but we wanted to not have any excuse. We wanted to give it everything we had, you know, for Eric, for Coach Boeheim, you know, for Adam, and just get this done.
Fun stuff on day one with Kevin Belby. We'll be back at it again tomorrow. We're going to have him back. We're going to dive into a little bit more of what Adam Weitzman really does and means to this team, as well as some of the other new faces on the TBT roster for Boeheim's Army, because there's a couple guys that we didn't hit on. Some of the non-overseas elites guys will fill you in on them. And also, if you are planning to attend down in Peoria,
We're going to tell you what's going on with the whole situation down there. If you are going to be in town and going to the games, maybe you're from Chicago like myself and are going to be making the trek down there. So Kevin's going to fill you in on everything you need to know as a visiting fan for TBT. We'll get to that on tomorrow's show. Be sure to subscribe, follow us on Twitter, all that good stuff at @LO_Syracuse and Locked On Syracuse, wherever you get your podcasts. For Tim, I'm Tyler. We will talk to you guys tomorrow.